Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to And They Overcame. This is a radio broadcast that we have been given by God to give him the praise early Saturday morning. I don't know what you've done Saturday, Friday night, but God deserves our honor and our praise, and we want to give it to him. We want to open up with a prayer by my husband, Elder Albert Burns.
Father, in Jesus' name, we just come to you this day and we thank you. We thank you for so much that you've done, for all that you've done. You've been awesome in our lives, Lord. You have made ways when there was no way. You have healed when we have been sick. You have delivered, Lord God, when we need it. Only you could bring us out, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we just worship you, we honor you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory because you are worthy, Lord God, and there is none like you in all the earth and all of heaven. Father, we just love you right now, and we just give you our praise, and we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for new mercies, because we know that new mercies come every morning at your hand because you are just so faithful, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we just pray right now that your will be done in this broadcast. We pray that your word will go forth. We pray that souls will be encouraged. Lord God, we pray that someone will know that you are the answer, that you are the way, and that they will turn to you and just be delivered from everlasting damnation, but into eternal life. Lord God, encourage your people through the words of the testimonies, and even bless those, Lord God, that are giving their testimonies, and give them even more power, more might, more of your blessings, Lord God, because of their willingness to share with the world what you have done. In the name of Jesus, bless this host in the name of Jesus, and let there be just a growth in this ministry that the world will be reached. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Elder Burns, for that word of prayer. And I am so excited this morning. I am so excited because I have two awesome men of God that have answered the call to come on and to give God praise. And God is good, and he deserves all the praise and all the honor. And I'm going to bring on Minister C.C. Richards. He has an awesome praise for God, and he is an awesome man, and I just love him. He is so excited all the time and smiling every time you see him, and nobody can put a smile on your face like God. So, Minister C.C., are you there?
Yes, I'm here this morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I am absolutely jacked out of my mind, excited and blessed and thankful to be alive this morning here with my family, with my beautiful wife and my family here in Durham, North Carolina. I'm telling you, I'm on fire. I'm thankful for this brand new December 1st, brand new day, new favor.
Yes. This is a day, as my former pastor, Bishop William A. Ellis, would say, a day that we've never seen before. It's a historical day. Hallelujah.
Yes.
CC, you don't mind me calling you CC. This is not formal. I just want to be for real and, you know, non-formal. I know that you're a minister of God and a mighty man of God, but we're personal friends. So is it all right if I call you CC?
But of course.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about CC Richards.
Oh, my goodness. Who I am is very connected to a backronym that I have for myself. C.C. Richards is committed, consistent, reproducing individual, causing happiness, always representing the doctrine of salvation. That's my name. That's my background. That's who I am. And I'm telling you what, I am a person that I love God. I love my family. And I'm just in awe of God. I live in awe of God.
Amen. Well, tell us your background, CC, where you came from, your family. I know you have granddaughters, but you have a brand new, beautiful granddaughter. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, I'm from Washington, D.C. I was born and raised in Washington, D.C. I'm married to a beautiful woman that we've been married, Selena and I. She's from D.C. as well, 27 years. And I got two grown kids and the grandbabies, and I spent the whole background from D.C. police and law enforcement. I was in law enforcement and worked at GOV, The Grind, and we moved to North Carolina back in 1989, and that's where I've been ever since we moved, brought my family here in North Carolina, 1989.
Okay, and you have two wonderful children that I know personally, your awesome son, very serious, very upstanding young man. I love him. I love his attitude. and he is also in law enforcement.
Absolutely. He's a police corporal over recruiting for the Durham Police Department.
Amen. 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 Doing wonderful things. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We got protection over him and the other police officers that serve us, you know, so diligently to protect us from the bad guys. Okay, Cece, well, let's hear a little of your testimony. You have as much time as you want. I know that you have some other things going on today, so go ahead and give us that powerful testimony.
Well, I want to definitely give it back to you, and I thank God for you and your family and the blessing that you all have been to us. You know, I tell you, you're just awesome individuals, awesome people, and I thank God for you. You know, so definitely wanted to give it back to you on that. You know, I just want to share, 90 months ago, you know, I was hospitalized. I went to the hospital, had a surgical procedure done 90 months ago. And May 7, 2005, and it turned real bad. You know, I literally died during that experience, a flat line, and I died during that experience. And it was looked absolutely hopeless for me in that situation. And, you know, the doctor's reports were really, really, really bad. And everything in my body had shut down. I was what they called, a medical term called NPO, which is nothing by mouth, for 4 months. No water, no ice chip, nothing could go in my mouth for 4 months. I had lost my hair, had to learn how to walk again. And I was in really, really bad shape. And they didn't have much hope for me as far as living. And but God showed up. Lena was just in there interceding and praying, along with others praying for me. And this, in the power of God, just turned that whole situation around. And during that time, I want you to understand that I was out of work, no paycheck coming in from my job. And during that same year, my wife was laid off. All this tragically happened to us 90 months ago. But God turned that whole situation around for us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm. So you flatlined. You were gone. You were not existing in this world any longer. But God.
But God. No meaningful heartbeat.
Mama.
Yeah. But God turned that thing around. So one thing that I discovered through that is that your circumstance will never supersede purpose.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, indeed. You know, and when that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, elaborate on that.
Yeah, you know, when that happened to me, God showed us that there is nothing, you know, the Bible says there's nothing too hard for God, and that he is not a man that he should lie, Numbers 23:19.
Yes.
He's not a man that he should lie. You know, and God's word really came to life in my life during that particular time. You know, my wife was right there with me at my side, praying me through, you know, and God turned that whole situation around. Well, here's what happened. Not only did God miraculously brought me out of the hospital and out of that situation, then, you know, coming through that, you know, I had tubes all through me. I was cut, you know, split open tubes. It was an interesting situation, but my wife took care of me and folks praying for me during that time. But God turned that thing around, you know, and I was able some months after to, you know, basically get back on my feet, get back to work as I had to because of what we were going through, tragically. And then I got an incredible phone call that changed my life forever, really just took us on an incredible course in May of 06. And, you know, during that time, because we were, you know, coming through that tragic situation, being out of work and all that, we were broke. You know, we were in a real bad way, financially and everything. But then in May of 06, I got a phone call from my brother that changed my life forever about a business, you know, about a business opportunity. Now, keep in mind, I know about the grind. I worked all the time. $0.30 a.m. to $0.30 p.m., 2-3 jobs, overtime. I did that for many years. But I got a phone call that was quite different, you know, from my brother. And that call, I mean, this was May of 06, 1 year later from me dying. Ms. Billy, 1 year later from me dying, I got a phone call, May of 06, that changed my life forever. And I started this business on a part-time basis. And because I was so busy on that grind as a police captain, you know, running the county and working all the time. And 25 months later, July 4th, Independence Day of 08, I had positioned myself to be able to walk away from the J.O.B. So today, my wife and I, we don't work jobs. Senior vice president's in a company that's about to be a $1 billion company, Inc. 500 company, called FiveLink. And so this, you know, 25 months. Versus 25 years, now we live a totally different lifestyle than on that grind. But the blessing, here's the blessing now, the blessing in all of that, because here's one thing we discovered. People need a relationship with Christ, but they also need some money, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. They need some money. But here's the thing. Here's how awesome God is. He has positioned us to introduce people to both. A relationship with Christ Jesus, the miracle working power of God, and show them how to position themselves to obtain wealth according to Deuteronomy 8:18. And only thing he asks us in return, according to Deuteronomy 8:18, is don't forget the Lord thy God, for he it is he who gives us the ability to produce wealth. And that's what we're able to do, show people right now, is how to have both, how to have a relationship with Christ, how to get money as an issue out of the way and make yearly income monthly.
Amen. 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 And you have been quite successful. I've watched you during this process, and I can attest to how your life has changed. You always look prosperous to me. That's the one thing that God does not want us to walk around with our faces, you know, people can read what's happening in your life, because with the joy of the Lord gives us strength, and when we rely on that strength from God, we can be joyous. Kirk Franklin said he doesn't want you to be happy, because happiness means you have to have something happening, but joy comes from God, and I see the joy. I see you, Selena, smiling all the time. It's just awesome. It's just awesome. I praise God for you. I praise God for you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, and what you're saying is so powerful, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when God brings you from nothing, from dying, Ms. Billy, from dying and bring you from nothing and bring you from ruins, and you see grace and mercy and favor on your life, and God will show you that he will never leave you nor forsake you, and that he will make a way out of no way, you know. And what he showed me was Isaiah 43:18-19. He said, look here, forget the former things. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. He took us on a new direction. And, you know, one of the things that we realized we needed to resource. See, here's the thing. Galatians 5:1, it said, it's for freedom that Christ set us free, not to be bound by anything. But we had to get free first, Ms. Billy. We had to get free first so now we can show others how to get free. You with me? But we realized we had to get free first, because you can't give what you don't have.
That's right.
Amen. You with me? So that's the name of our team. We developed a team. It's called, and God gave this to Selena. It's called Team RTP, but RTP stands for Rescuing the People. Whatever their situation is, and this is based on Luke 4:18, rescuing the people out of their situation. And that's our mission. That's our purpose. That, you know, that what gets us excited every day. Because we can see, here's what we know. One person can't do everything, but everybody can do something.
Amen. I like that. One person can't do everything, but everybody can do something. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. That means everybody's significant. Everybody can do something. Everybody have a part to play. And when God show you something, you may not think you have much, but God will show you, guess what? Once there was a man who complained about not having shoes, Miss Billy, until he met a man with no feet.
Yeah.
Everybody can do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, you're blessed. You're blessing people live on the radio right now. You're doing something significant. You're changing lives right now. You with me? So here, we all have a part to play in the scheme of life, in the big, in what God has for. We all have are significant, and we all. And here's the power: when we come together, we're awesome. And here's one of the things that the devil never wants us to do, Ms. Billy. He never wants us to come together. You know why? What's the first three letters in unity?
You and us.
The first three letters in unity. You and I.
You and I. Get it out. You and I. Yes. Yes.
See, without the you and I, Miss Billy, there is no unity. It doesn't exist. It's not real. So he don't want the you and I come together, because that's how you get unity, through you and I. But see, in the world today and what's going on right now, he don't want that you and I together. He don't want you and your husband doing nothing together. He don't want you and your family together. Why? He wants to divide and conquer. But when we come together in unity, we're powerful and unstoppable. There's a force right there. You with me? So that's what we're doing right now is we're rescuing people and showing, but we have to lead by example, because one thing we know about leadership, we have to lead by example. We had to become free first so we could show others the way, and that's just like Christ Jesus. He commissioned us in Mark 16:15 is to go spread the good news, and that's what you're doing right now. You're doing Mark 16:15. You're spreading the good news of the kingdom. See, the world got plenty of bad news. We're sharing good news.
Yes, yes. Well, Cece, how can someone get in touch with you to hear more about your business? I have another caller on the line that is in the same business with you. She's not with your group, but she's out of California. But just give us how we can get in touch with you to hear more about your awesome business, and it is awesome. I have seen Cece and Selena, like I said, they never looked down. They never looked like anything was wrong with them, but now they have a glow about them, always smiling, always laughing, always encouraging other people. So give us that information.
Absolutely. You know, it is a blessing because, you know, as senior vice presidents in this company, and I wanted to share this with you too. Selena and I were the first to start Five Links in the state of North Carolina, over 8,288,000 people, 100 counties, 654 cities. We were the first in May of 06. But how you can reach us, you can actually text NC First, NCFIRST to 55469 is one way. NC First to 55469 on text, and yet our information actually will come up on that, as well as 919-638-7023 is my contact number. And that's 919-638-7023. and it's my contact number. And I'm telling you, I'm just blessed, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that we can share our testimony, you know, not only as we, you know, we're definitely what God did and how God turned our life around and allow us to come to be a part of sharing his power, his mercy, his love, and his favor.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you, CC, so much. And, you know, it's just when you see God working in someone's life, not that he doesn't work in all of our lives, he does every day that we're able to get up and breathe and are able to put our clothes on and, you know, function on our own, it's a blessing. We that's a small thing, we think, but it's not a small thing. Anything that God does for us, it's powerful, but it's such a blessing to hear and to know someone that is successful, not successful the way the world would see them, also successful the way the world would see them, but successful in God. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Cece. I love you and Selena, and I will talk to you later.
All right. I just had one final comment I want to say to you and your wonderful husband. Is if
okay.
That if loving young is wrong, I don't even want to be right.
We feel the same way. We feel the same way.
Awesome. Have an awesome day now.
You too. God bless you. That was a powerful testimony from Brother Cece, how God raised him from the dead. And it's not spooky. Sometimes I hear people saying that they were raised from the dead, or I don't know them personally, but and they're always talking about what they saw, and they saw a light, and, you know, they make it spooky, but it's not spooky. Cece died, the Lord brought him back and has prospered him, and we give God the glory. That's what we're here for, to give God the glory. Our next caller is a young man that I know from back home, which is Chicago, and he is an awesome man of God also, and he has a powerful testimony. Are you there, Brother Patterson?
I'm here.
Amen.
How are you, Sister Billy?
I am blessed. I am blessed. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing extraordinary. God is good. And it was good to hear Big Al. Well, let me get formal. It was good to hear the other Al.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
We used to call him Big Al from when he came in from St. Louis, when the boat brought him in from St. Louis.
My God. What a blessing.
Thank you. Yeah, Lord, this is a grand opportunity to be here, and it's good to hear your voice, and it's been years since I've seen you all, and unfortunately, and I have to repent, because we're in the same area, we're in Durham also, and thank God for that brother Richard's testimony. What a mighty God we serve, and God can turn a bad situation into an awesome one. And everything that we experience is to be for the glory of God, and that's to the benefit of the people and the benefit of us. So God is all about benefit and benefiting us. So I just praise God for you and your family. How's the family doing? And when last time I saw you, I think you were having a baby. And that was so many years ago. The baby should be about 25.
Not quite. The baby is graduating from UNC Chapel Hill on the 15th of this month, or the 16th of this month. Amen. Yes, Jonathan, that was my baby. Wow, that's been a long time, and I repent too. But you know, life just has us where we, you know, are busy and doing things for God, and. You know, so we'll get together. We will get together.
Oh, yeah. It's no doubt. It's a blessing. But I really do truly thank the Lord for blessing us. And Cheryl and I, we are so thankful to know you and you and Big Al and your family. And we have two kids. We have two children. My son, he's at NC State. My daughter's at Guilford College. So we have two, and they're both in college. And it's almost, almost an empty nest because they're still close by, so we can get to them whenever we need to. And I thank God for family and that relationship and still having influence in their lives.
Amen. Yes, and that's key because our children are influenced by the things that they're around. And if we can be close to them, you know, we can be that positive influence in this bad influenced world. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Look, I know you're from Chicago, and you actually are a relative to my former pastor, Bishop Ellis, whom I love me some Bishop Ellis.
What a mighty God. Well, I'm originally from, I was born and raised in Chicago. I spent 40 years in Chicago, raised there, and I was in a church like Bishop Ellis. My cousin, his father started our church on 35th in Indiana, and then I was born there. He went on to San Antonio to pastor, and then I was raised there in the church. I got saved there when I was with the baptism of the Holy Ghost at the age of 10. And I say all the time I got saved when I was 10, so I got sanctified between now and then. All of my life has been in the church, and that's been a saving grace for me. Many things I missed, thank God I didn't take part in, but that doesn't mean that I was perfect. I did not sin. God saved me in the midst of being in the church. He saved me in church. And so, and then, you know, meeting you all, and we coming back and forth, fellowshipping, even before Bishop Ellis got there, Elder Baguette and all of those, so just having that wonderful experience of being there, being raised in the church. And then I met my wife, Cheryl. Her father's a pastor out of Peoria, Illinois. We got married. The brother said he was married 27 years. We've been married 28 years. We got married back in 84, June 16, 3 o'clock, 1984. And it's been my greatest asset, the greatest step that I've taken toward becoming a man and becoming responsible. And I'm just thankful that the Lord has blessed, and he has blessed us. We've left Chicago, where we started pastoring there in Chicago. One of the pastors was retiring, and ever since we started there, the Lord moved us to one pastor was talking retirement, so he requested us to come to Mississippi. We went from Chicago to Mississippi. That was an experience. Spent about 5 years in Mississippi, then left and came to North Carolina in 2007. And then we started to work here, but I was taking the time to do writing and different things like that. So, and then my kids are in school, and my wife is working for Verizon. And so the Lord has been blessing us. Going a little bit back, turn the page backwards, you know, the Lord has blessed Shirley and I. After being married, we had some issues with having children. She had two tubal pregnancies and one miscarriage. And the doctor said that we wouldn't have any children. And then one day, while I was at my church in Chicago, where Bishop Davis is still the pastor, the Lord spoke to me and told me to plant a seed, a $500 seed, and he would give me a son. And at first I said, well, I'll just put it in church. But God said, no, sometimes you have to proclaim things and put it out there so that when it happens, not only will God get the glory, but people will see that this is an act of faith. Because most of the time when we give offerings and stuff, we want to do it secretly. Sometimes you have to step forth when you're expecting something great to happen, and you people can watch for it, and then it brings God glory. Because if I secretly do something, there's nothing to say that whatever I said happened the way it did. Yeah. But when I stand forth and proclaim that God said he's going to do this, and so we planted that seed, and soon after my wife got pregnant again, because she didn't have problems getting pregnant, but it was keeping the baby. She got pregnant. And the Lord bless, my son was born on September 24th in 1990. And then 2 years later, we had a daughter. And I said, well, Lord, thank you. Thank you. We can stop now, because that was enough. Because I didn't want to take my wife. I used to say I wanted to have 8 children like my mother. But then when I saw, I was there when my son was born. I said, no, I don't want to take my wife through this again. So after the two, we just thank God. So God has blessed us. And since then, God has blessed and used us in the ministry to pray for people, for children. And I think there's about, to the glory of God, there's about 25 children that's roaming around here in these United States that we've prayed for. Their mothers and fathers, and God has blessed them to conceive. There was a church in, I think it was in Chicago, one of the suburbs of Chicago. Years ago, I did a, they had a midnight rumble where they had a marriage where they had couples retreat, and they asked me to come and speak, and I was speaking, praying for people. I came back about 9 months to 10 months later. There was about 10 people that either had babies. Even the pastor's wife, they all prayed. So when I walked in the door, they standing up and applauded because we were ministering to them. And about 10 people had children. So that was really the start of things to touching people's lives in that area. So the Lord has been blessing us. And we were talking about healing power and stuff like that. Recently I had a fall. I come home from Chicago. I went to visit Chicago for I was speaking for something, and I came back home, and I noticed there was a leak in one of my bathrooms at home. And my son and I, we went up in the attic. I said, let's go up in the attic and find it. So I found out where there was a water basin under the air conditioning unit that was spilling over. And so I said, well, let's get a pail, and we can get the basin. Dump the water out of it so it won't be running down, because it was running down in the bathroom and down the wall, and the paint was bubbling and all of that. So when we went to, I went to bend down to get the water basin up in the attic, the floor gave. And I fell 15 feet. I fell 15 feet down into that bathroom. Now, on my way down, of course, I'm calling Jesus. But then when I hit the floor, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, all things work together for the good. Before I began to wail because of the pain, because I landed on my hip, and before I began to wail because of the pain, I just hollered out, my son hurt, because he was standing up in the attic looking down at me. And all I said was, all things work together for the good, for them that love the Lord. And I said, Lord, I love you. Then I began to, oh, my God, what is going on? So that was a frightening time, but I didn't have time to fear because I thought it happened so quick. All I can do is call Jesus. And when I hit the floor, and I'll show you the miracle in it, because the way I fell, I should have hit the tub, sink, the wall, or something like that in the direction I fell. But some way God turned me in the air, and I didn't slip. So some way God repositioned me, so I fell. I fell in between, and there was only a small space in between the tub, the wall, the sink, and all of that, and the toilet. I fell in between there, and then he kind of bent my body, folded in half, so I just landed on my hip. The way I fell, I should have hit, my head should have hit the toilet, but God turned me in the opposite direction, where I just hit. So then they called the ambulance, and they came in. My son was hollering at me, Dad, don't move. And I was trying to move. I told him that's the first and last time he ever better raise his voice at me. We laugh about it now. But he hollered, told me, don't move. And we called the ambulance. The ambulance came, and they carried us to the hospital. We were there at UNC. And they did a lot of extra, because they was making sure that, you know, there was no back or spinal injuries. But I did break one small bone below the spine. I broke my hip, and they said two, but it was three places. It's a smaller bone, so I broke my hip in three places. And I was in the hospital, couldn't walk for about, I was there at UNC 5 days. And the whole time, you know, friends and stuff was coming in, but for 5 days I was there. And couldn't do anything for myself. Are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. And so I couldn't do anything, couldn't walk, couldn't move, and they was anticipating that I would be immobile till at least about January. And so when we came home, what I've done. When we came home, the Holy Spirit began to talk to me and tell me, just get my word. Now it's time to let the word become flesh. So yeah. then I began to take the word of God, the healing scriptures, and begin to read and study them and to read them. And that's the only thing that I was doing. The Holy Spirit said, I don't want you to watch TV. I don't want you to do anything since you're going to be laying around. I want you to take the word, and I want you to build the word into your consciousness. See, that's the difference. Many of us have been saved. The word never got inside of our mindset. When the Lord said that he was going to do something different for the children of Israel, they had the laws, which were a physical. All you had to do was follow the laws and all of that. That was a physical representation. But then when Jesus came, he wanted to get intimate with us. And that new thing, when he said, I want it in your heart. The heart is just your mindset. Your mind, your conscious, your subconscious. So then I began to get the word. And then one day I was laying down, and there was, used to be a pastor, Bishop Poole in Chicago, and his wife, Maddie B. Poole, years ago. And they had a radio program. And their program, their theme was, why be sick when you can be healed? And while I was laying there at home in the bed, the Holy Spirit spoke to me those same words, why be sick when you can be healed? And it applied to being unable to move, handicapped, or whatever the situation, because I wasn't sick. I didn't have a sickness. I had a condition because bones were broken and dealing with excruciating pain and a trauma. So then after we got to, they began to send therapists in to try to teach me again how to be mobile and walk around and all that stuff. And different ones would come and try to aid me in that the condition, and to buy a lot of materials to try to go back and forth and learn how to walk again, because I had to relearn how to walk again. I didn't have my strength, didn't have mobility. So I had to keep going back and forth with that. They were buying all kind of things because I couldn't bathe myself. So one of the benefits out of this, finally I was able to get my wife to give me a sponge bath. See, for 27 years, I never was able to get that. That was one of those things. She was able to take care of me in that aspect. But just going on, and then week after week, the Lord began to, as I confessed the word, I was on a walker first. So that was excruciating trying to walk. But I made up my mind I wasn't coming outside, coming out with a walker. And I didn't want to be in that condition. It wasn't because of pride. But I was expecting God to do something extraordinary. So every day I was getting up. So the therapist was coming. The first week the therapist came, they noticed I was getting better. But see, what the Lord was doing is I was taking the word. I was confessing the word. And I went in particular to the book of Ezekiel when the Lord told, ask the prophet, can the bones live? And since I had broken bones, I began to study that scripture and said, and they asked him, Lord, he said, can these bones live? And the prophet said, Lord, thou knowest. Here's what God said to him, and he spoke to me. He said, speak to the bones and tell the bones to hear the word of the Lord. Needless to say, I began to talk to my bones. I told my hip bones, I don't want you to hear the word of the Lord. With his stripes, I'm healed. It said, the righteous hold on to their way. He that have clean hands are getting stronger and stronger. So every day I was confessing it. But I was telling my bones to hear the word of the Lord. The first week, I couldn't even stand up on the walker. The next week, I was able to use the walker and get it for. Then the next week, when the lady came in, she had a cane. So everybody being amazed at my progress. But I told the Lord, I said, Lord, because this happened on the 29th of September. I said, Lord, about the 1st of November, I want to be walking on my own strength. About a week and a half before the 1st of November, I put the cane down and walker down, and I began to walk on my own strength. I went back to the doctor. They were amazed when I walked in. They were saying this couldn't be the same man because they had me. They had so many. Not only did I have a lot of therapy that I had to do, but they had so many specialists that was checking out my spine, my bones. They was making sure that there was no, that I didn't have any paralysis or anything like that. But the Lord blessed when I walked in there. It was almost a resounding applause because it was amazing I came in. But all I was doing was confessing the word and using the word. So I came in and the home health people said, well, there's nothing more we can do for you. We want you to take therapy outside, you know, go to a therapist so you can relearn how to walk and all of that. But God was doing it every day. I would get up, and sometime at 3 in the morning, whenever I woke up in the morning, I'd get up and I'd get on the walk, and I just said, with the stripes, I'm healed. I'm strong. I'm strong and strong. When I went in to see the doctor, I handed him the orders that he had to sign up on. He tore them up in front of my face. He said, you go home. You don't need any more therapy. Just go ahead and do what you're doing. Whatever you're doing, whatever you believe in, it's working for you.
Amen.
Today, I'm walking around, I'm driving, I'm doing everything I need to do, I'm doing everything as usual. But I was scheduled, according to them, until January was going to be the time that I would be moved. So God healed me. Now, in the midst of all of that, the brother gave the money piece. We were able to do more resolution and paying more bills. And it wasn't because no insurance or nothing came through. Money just started coming from different places. And it wasn't from people where people were sawing into the light. That's another thing. I paid off over, I have to say, over $20,000 in bills and debt and old stuff while I was at home because I couldn't get around. I had to cancel meetings because going around as a preacher and a professional speaker, I had to cancel. I canceled all of that for the rest of the year since they told me January. I just canceled everything. But God blessed, took care of all of that. We were able to take care of that financially. This is one of the freest times that we've had. No bills no bill collector's been calling me. Nothing has been coming in. Everything has been paid. So to God be the glory. But to that instant, one thing that God showed me, I have a bishop friend out of Detroit. He's a medical doctor. He's a Jew, but he's an African Jew. He was born, his family was born in Israel, so he's born of the tribe of Benjamin, so he goes all the way back there. He's a medical doctor, but he's also a man of God, a pastor and a preacher. So God told me, now he deals with physical ailments and stuff, health all the time. While I was down, God said, I want you to sow a seed into his life and name that seed a healing seed. So while I was laying on my back, I put a small seed in the mail and I sent it to him. God began to give a harvest on that seed, and that's when my healing began to manifest. God began to show me that, like when tragedy happened to people, what people can do is not so much as far as bills, but people can sow a seed, not only the individual that was hurt, but others. If you really hear, whenever we hear about someone's tragedy, whatever it is, one of the things to do to bring about a harvest, because God says as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest.
Yes.
One of the things that we need to do is to sow seed toward people's lives so that harvest can come. So, there, you know, laying on my back, I was sowing seeds. I was sending seeds here, especially people that were dealing with issues that I was in, even some people that were sick. I did the same thing. You know, if I found out someone sick, and the Lord showed me, if I hear about somebody having a tragedy, someone sick, I'm going to sow a seed in their life. Not so much because people say, whatever you, if you need anything, you know, people say, oh, if you need anything, call me. They don't really mean that. You know, because as soon as you call them, they don't answer. So thank God I don't have to call anyone. But this is a lesson for all of us. You know, sow a seed. It don't have to be a major seed. It can be a small seed, but sow a seed toward the manifest. I needed healing. So I sowed a seed into a person that was dealing with healing. I'm standing up. I'm walking on my own. I have no pain, no discomfort. Some of the other benefits, I lost a little weight. So I had to go and get all my suits taken up. So I'm looking good, feeling good. I'm you know, just God is just doing some wonderful things. And as a result of taking that word, using that word, using the principle, because here's the thing about the word. Everything in the Word, every person in the Bible, everything has a principle attached to it. Every name that's mentioned, every character from Jezebel to Jesus, there's a principle to it. If you learn the principle, you can get the lesson on their lives and what's going on. Instead of just reading about David, look at the principle of David. Instead of just reading about Moses and Joshua and all of these people, and even some of the bad dudes, read the principle on their life, and then we can learn from, because the Bible is a book of principles, not so much as laws as we think it is, don't do this, but principles. And if we follow and master the principles, then we have the manifestation of the Word of God coming alive in our life. Then the Word becomes flesh in you. So it's been an awesome time, and God has done so. He's healed my body. He's blessed. He's transformed our lives. Thank God. My kids both, since they thought I was going to be out, they took this semester off, and so they stayed home to take care of me. But they're saying, we're laughing. I said, we could have went on to school, because they thought that they were going to have to do, because their mother had to, she's working. So Cheryl had to, Cheryl took off a little while, but she had, somebody had to make somebody coming in here. So she had to continue. So they stayed out this semester, going back in January, just to be with me. And I'm thankful for that. But they're like, we could have went to school, but after about a month, he was out. So
amen.
God be the glory.
I remember seeing in your posting how you, I think it was your daughter, no, it was your son, and he said, Dad, that's what you taught us. He said, no, you go to school. And he said, no, family first. That's what you taught
us.
That's
right.
That's a blessing.
That's right.
Oh, that is a blessing. That is a blessing. I am so just in awe of God, the things that he does for us, the lessons that he teaches us. You said one thing that was so powerful to me. People always think that when you sow a seed that it has to be something major. You know, God doesn't look at if I just have $10 to give, or if I just have $25 to give, if I just have $100 to give, because the next person would be able to give something greater. So we hold back blessing because we despise that small thing that we have to give to God. God said that he will make our little into something great.
That's right. No seed in the natural is large. There's not a large seed. There's not too many seeds that are bigger than, you know, most seeds are real small. See, it's not the size of the seed. It's the quality of the harvest. Because, see, most seeds are small in measure, but the harvest is always greater than the seed. And see, if we want to really turn our lives around to take advantage of, again, the principle God said, as long as the earth remains, it'll be seed time. If there's a chance, if we can either weekly or daily sow a seed, because the harvest is guaranteed to come. We haven't gotten it. We think somebody's just trying to get some money from us. No, and it can be $10. If you can set aside to sow a seed, if it's nothing but $10 a week or something. And see, your seeds is not your tithe. Your tithe is not your seed. But see, because you know, God doesn't promise a harvest from your tithe, because your tithe is it belongs to the Lord. Your seed is what you purpose in your heart. It's an offering. If we become seed-minded, one of the things that I have for myself and my family is that I live to give. So every chance I get, I'm sowing a seed, either in somebody's life or giving to somebody, like, you know, here in Durham, you know, you drive down the street, they stand on every expressway, you know, asking for money. And most times we're just trying to have something to give to somebody every day. And we try to give it, and a lot of times we be like, well, now they may going to drink it up or whatever. That ain't your responsibility. God told me, give to him that asks. I said, Lord, what is he going to drink? Oh, whose responsibility? It's not your responsibility to determine what someone's going to do with the seed. That's none of your business, really.
Amen.
And we've
been
taught, and I've heard churches say, well, you're going to get that, so you're going to get another drink. Some of these people, God shared with me, some of these people, that's the only way to cope, because they haven't been delivered. God is not through with people because they're not saved. If that was the case, you and I wouldn't be saved. But God sustains people until they get to the point where they can hear him and respond to him. And a man that's hungry, the last thing he wants to do is learn how to be saved. He wants to eat first. And a man that has an addiction, he's so far away from trying to be saved. He wants to be satisfied. He wants to bring that coping or that comfort. So God removed that judgment from us. So somebody asked me for something, I had it, I give it to them. And I always say, because the scripture said, he that give it to the poor, I lend it to the Lord. So I open my window and give it to them. I said, Lord, I'm lending this to you, and I try to plant a seed every day, because the Lord guaranteed that as long as the earth remains, there will be a time to plant the seed. And after that seed is planted, there will be a harvest that's coming. But see, one of the things is we don't expect it back. We get up and disclaim things. Well, I ain't looking for nothing back. You just shut down your harvest. So I'm telling God, Lord, I'm looking for this back. Even if I give somebody, I say, Lord, I'm looking for this back, and I'm not looking for it back from them. I'm looking for it back from God. But God will use man to give it back to you. Because he said, will men give unto you?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm going crazy with the seed thing. I want to try to give somebody. And it don't have to be a lot. You don't give your rent away. You don't give your car note away. You don't give stuff. You use wisdom to take care of your business. But always take the time to set aside a seed to sow into somebody's life. And one of the great ways to do it is in church. You know, sow a seed into the ministry. And, you know, people, we preach all the time. You're a preacher. Your husband's a preacher. One lesson that never was taught, that if a word is spoken that you come and agree with, I don't care if it's a Sunday school class, if a word is spoken, you come and agree with me. You want that word to be for you. Sow a seed. You can walk and give your Sunday school teacher $5 and say, I thank you for that lesson today. I'm sowing the seed into your life. What a blessing. I received that word. A seed seals the deal. It caused things to grow based upon that, and you name that seed. So once the seed, it seals the deal. So when the pastor preaching a good sermon, walk up to him. You can put it in arm, but walk up to him, put it in his hand. Because he said, he that soweth unto a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Put in his hand, God bless you. I received that word. That word is for me. Guess what? Once you plant that seed on that word that was spoken, and you want it to be for you, guess what? The harvest is guaranteed to come. So don't stop me preaching this early. Listen, it's the word. It's the principle in God's word. That's what God set up seeding for. God set up seeding for us to benefit. And many of us have been tithing, and we've been given offerings, but we haven't been seed mining. Many of us know how to sow, but we don't know how to reap. We give something, but we don't have an expectation for something to come back. Ain't no sense in giving offerings all this time and never looking for anything. And then you figure you give an offering, and then God won't bless you. Oh, he blessed me with this job, and I work, and then you work so hard that you can't come to church. That ain't God blessing. God ain't taking you from you. Say, I'm in church. And you know, I'm working. Anybody can go and work with a hard job and get a paycheck. That ain't how God works. He said, no more toil. God said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. He didn't say you go out here and put in 16 hours a day, too tired, can't enjoy your family, you can't watch your children grow up, can't enjoy your wife, you're short-tempered, tired all the time, back hurting, you wait till you retire so you can get a gold watch. No, that's not God's process. God wants us to flow. And those that have special talents, yes, go on that job and do what you need to do. But then God don't want you. See, your job is your source for seeds, not your source for your living. People tell me they're going out and make a living. No, I'm going out and making a seed.
Amen.
Because my living is coming from my faith. So I don't care how much money it is. Oh, God just gave me a lot of seeds or whatever. That I'm going out and make a seed because I'm going to sow a seed. And once we become sowers or master sowers, then the harvest would then flood. Because I think it's Song of Solomon, not Song of Solomon, but it's Ecclesiastes 11:4. I think it said, in the morning sow thy seed. In the evening withhold not thine hand. Thou knowest neither this or that or both which shall prosper. So you got to become a seeder. Sow every chance you get and look for the prosperity in your children's source. If it's something that you want, an attribute in your children's life, if it's something you want to do, you know, something you need your children to be blessed. If you want your children now to find the proper mate, sow a seed toward that. Lord, I thank you. Now let me, because I'm telling my son and my daughter, I'm not going to tell you who to marry, but I ain't letting nobody crazy come in and mess up my family. I'll tell you who not to marry. So I'm checking it all out. Because we know the wrong person get a hold of your child and it's over.
Yeah.
God and nobody else can do nothing with them. It's over. And then they have children after that, and then all that, and the cycle just continues. Billy, I've always loved you and Al, and we're going to do better this coming season. We're going to do better getting together and seeing one another. God is blessing me, healing me, being able to get around. I'm going to have to get to you all. Billy, I still got that gray hair, that beard.
No, actually, he's bald. But
he's bald.
So powerful.
I was bald when you all left.
Well, he's bald by choice. He still has a
yes.
little bit. He's by choice. He shaves his hair.
Oh, yeah, that's what I did. I cut my hair about 25 years. I've been bald for about 25 years. And I've been there to one before it really came popular. I'd cut all my hair off. And now I refuse to let it come back. And I like it. And then I don't have any gray. And anytime I see any gray, I cut it off. So there's no gray nowhere. I was looking at my hands and I saw a gray hair coming out. I started shaving my arms, legs, and everything. So I don't want it. Because my youth is renewed like the eagle.
This is going to bring on. I have a powerful evangelist, and I know she's itching to say something to you. So, Evangelist Bernard, I'm going to bring you on. Are you there?
Yes, I am. I've been with you through the entirety of the broadcast.
Well, you've heard two powerful testimonies this morning, and I just want to introduce you to Bishop Corrigan Patterson.
You know.
He is a dear friend of mine. And Evangelist is a friend. We met each other in when we lived in Georgia, and she and I were in ministry together there in Georgia. And I just want her to know you because she does the blog. Actually, I'm under her umbrella, and she does a blog talk radio every day where she features ministers, preachers. I don't think it's just preachers, but anybody else to expound on the Word of God. Is that right, Evangelist?
Yes, ma'am.
What a blessing. That's creativity, and that's an opportunity to really sow into people's lives and get the word out. God bless you. I thank God for this opportunity to hear your voice at least.
Amen, amen. I'm just sitting back, and usually I'm not afforded this opportunity because we're on this broadcast Monday through Friday, and now Saturday with Minister Burns. In this segment, they overcame, and my heart has just been leaping hearing the men. We have so many females, so many women of God that comes on the broadcast daily, and I have just been enjoying hearing these awesome men of God today, and my heart just been leaping for joy. I tell you, God is a wonderful God, and just to hear your powerful testimonies, it really have encouraged me on this morning. I say yesterday on the broadcast, I was just reminiscing, and the Lord told me when we began on this journey, the Lord told me to have a subject matter every week, because you want to center people around the same subject, and we all want to speak the same thing. And as I began to ask the Lord, Lord, what are you saying this week? He began to ask me, what was the name of this segment? And the name of our segment, it's under New Destiny Ministries, but the name of our segment is A Time of Reflection. And then the Lord began to say, well, I want you to reflect upon all of these messages that have come forth over this radio airwaves from December 2011 up until this month. Next month, we'll be commemorating 1 year of Minister Burns on this radio network. And I tell you, it has been such a blessing. We have reached over 13,000 listeners on this radio, and I'm just in awe at what God is doing. You know, sometimes I don't see but two or three people on the line, but after I go back and look at the stats, people are able to go into this archive like this morning. They can go back and hear these wonderful testimonies. I mean, 365 days, 24/7. If you have access to a computer, you can listen to these live broadcasts. And I'm just so thankful. My heart is so full because one thing about God, every promise he makes, he'll keep it. And as I began, Minister Burns, to tell the people, our first subject matter was unity in the Bible. And I heard one of the men say, what is the first three words in unity? You and I. And that's what God is concerned about. He is concerned about souls. The man of God just preached on soul, and I said that every day I live. You're not sowing for no finances. You might be sowing for a child. You might be sowing for your brethren. You may be sowing for just a word from the Lord. It ain't about money. It's about souls. It's about health. It's about wealth. It's about giving our lives to the Lord. So I am just so thankful that Minister Burns have taken on this segment. I'm in California, and 5 o'clock in the morning is early for some of these people. But let me tell you, I got introduced to doing this radio broadcast by Pastor Ashton Adams, and he's on 7 days a week at 6 in the morning, and they are ministering the word of God. We're not on here debating the Godhead or all of this other stuff that we keep, that keep us divided. God is interested in souls. He looks at the heart. He's not interested in what kind of clothing you wear, long as it's modest. But all of this foolishness that have divided us and keep us separated every year, I tell you, God, Jesus is coming, and we better get it together. So you shouldn't have, oh, Lord, you should have just let me just enjoy this broadcast today, because my heart is rejoicing. And let me just give this announcement, and I'm going to give it back over to Minister Burns. We are, and if you're not, if you're on Facebook and you haven't befriended me, I tell you, please do so, and you can get some information about what we're doing on the West Coast. I know the East Coast is alive, but we're doing some. God have people everywhere serving him and doing the will of God. And I tell you, we're excited because we're having our True Fellowship Conference 2012 on next weekend, December the 7th and 8th. And I tell you, we have some wonderful speakers. And the Lord gave me this topic, let brotherly love continue. And I said, well, Lord, you know, when something is continuing, that means it already has an origination. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So when he said, let it continue, it's been originated. Jesus already came with love. He had the greatest love that any man can ever have and any man can ever give. So we are excited about that. And as I heard the man of God talking about sowing, I don't get on the line and ask for anything. I allow God to have his perfect will in my life. But this week, and well, last week we began to ask those that are in different areas of the nation that have been blessed with this broadcast to sow a $25 seed for the luncheon that we're going to have in this conference. And you're just sowing a seed that somebody else may not be able to come, and you're sowing that seed. But one thing I love about the Lord, that those that aren't able to come and pay the $25, we're not turning anybody away, because this is a free gospel. You're going to make some you're going to have to make some sacrifices, but the gospel is given to every man. Amen. The choice is yours. So we'd like to invite you to come to this True Fellowship Conference on next weekend. It will be held at 2281 East Main Street in the city of Stockton at Christ Redeeming Center, where the overseer and pastor there is Dr. Kenneth Burford. And he will be one of our conference speakers, along with Dr. Winston Singleton of Los Angeles, California, Prophetess Cheryl Harrison of Elk Grove, California. And we also have a business opportunity meeting. I heard the senior vice president with Five Links Enterprise, and we also have some senior vice presidents out here on the West Coast. So we're going to have a business opportunity meeting where you can learn how to bring some more streams of income into your families and also your parishioners at your churches. So we have Senior Vice President Doris Campbell of Five Links Enterprise and also a National Director, Sister Dorothy Green, will be in this conference. So it's something you don't want to miss. So, Minister Burns, I'm just so proud of you. You know, when God gives us something to do, we have to get busy. And the Lord told me to tell the people this week, you know, some of us make promises that we just can't keep, but we never go back and repent. And God say, I want you to repent. I want everyone that have made me some promises this year and they haven't been able to fulfill those promises. He say, all I want them to do is come to me, Sister Benoit, and have a little talk with me and say, Lord, forgive me. Next year, if you allow me to cross over, I'm going to do better. But we won't even have that conversation with the Lord. And that's why we're going through all kinds of situations, because we won't even be honest with God. If we can be honest and transparent with anybody, it should be with God. So he said, come back. He said, you all have heard too many messages this year for there not to be any change in your life. There should be some fruit on your tree. How many souls have you witnessed to this year? How many souls have you encouraged this week? Oh, they overcame. I'm reminded that the scripture said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I thank God for this broadcast, and I tell you, you woke me up this morning. I get up early anyway, but you got me getting up an hour earlier than I'm accustomed to, but I'm glad about it. So God bless you all. We love you. Thank God for the ministers that we heard on this morning. Thank God for Minister Burns and Elder Burns. I haven't heard his voice. I don't even know what's going on, but I need to hear his voice. I heard him praying, but I need a little bit more, Elder Burns. So God bless you. Back into your hand, Minister Burns.
That's my sister. I love her. Well, we are, our hearts are glad. God is so good to us and so powerful, and Cornelius, I just am so blessed. I know that you had an injury, and I know that it was a fall, but I wasn't clear because I didn't call you, forgive me, and find out, but we were praying for you. But I just to hear, I follow you on Facebook, so I saw the different changes that you were talking about and how you went through a period of repentance also. On your Facebook page. And, you know, it so encouraged me, you know, that that if you look at somebody and you say, well, they seem to be, you know, have this status in the Lord, and you would all the time that, you know, what would they repent? You know, we have little repentance, but, you know, really for someone in your status to be able to say, a bishop, to be able to say, you know, that I need forgiveness. Forgiveness needs to be wrought in my life. I've held things that were deep down inside of me, and I need to get that out. That was so powerful for me.
Well, you know, it was freeing, because this is the time that God wants us free. He wants us, you know, a lot of time we put on airs, and we know where we are. A lot of times we're dishonest because we've become master masqueraders. We go through church, we go through putting forth an image to people, we go through going through certain things, but you got to get to a point where you start being reflective and thinking about you, where you really are, because the Bible says save yourself. And if each of us, there's issues we have that either they derive from the family, our involvement with the community, then with church, and a lot of things, our own personal areas of opportunity. So I begin to be reflective. There ain't no sense in sitting here trying to get healed and your insides are still disturbed. God wants to heal you from the inside out, because one writer said, as the inside, so is the outside. And if we're going to manifest greatness and we're going to manifest victory,
That victory got to be on the inside. Our personal relationships and the family is a good place to start. I begin to watch how I respond to my wife. You know, Billy, I've always been a sucker for love, especially when it comes down to my wife. So I've been excited. I'm still even more excited. I'm even more excited about our relationship because my wife, I'm thankful. She just does it for me. So then, you know, that excitement, that energy, that motivation has even gotten worse. I was talking to some of the brothers that we come up with, and they said, well, we used to hate, because I used to do praise service in the council, and I used to always thank the Lord for my family and what he was doing. Oh, we used to hate for you to get up and talk, so, you know, and I would say, well, I'm sorry you all felt that way. And most of them that was talking about they hated it. They were divorced and into something else. But I'm still going strong because that's important to me. That's important to me. And most of us, we talk about our new cars, we talk about our jobs, we talk about everything else, but we don't talk about our family. And that's the base of all things. That's the base of
it.
You know, because
I can stop.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm good.
I was just going to say that I the Lord impressed on me that we – church now is not like church that we used to have. And we don't have the testimonies. I loved hearing what God was doing for the saints. And I loved how we would go up in the Lord. And I said, Lord, Sister Bernard allowed me to have this time. And God had given me about testimonies. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And then as I shared that with Sister Bernard, and she said, yes, and she said, a lot of us are still injured and a lot of us are still, you know, not successful because we haven't given God the glory that is due his name. He's due this.
Mm-hmm. That's
He's
right.
He's due this. And as this ministry grows, this is our fourth week, and I praise God. This is our fourth week, and I praise God for that. And I see that it's going to grow. I declare it now. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to plant a seed towards that.
I'll be doing the same thing. I'll be doing the same thing because I'm going to stand with you as it grows because this is a blessing.
Amen. It is. And we have never gone this long before. Sister Bernard, we have never gone this long before.
That's correct. That's why, Dad, we have 90 minutes live, Minister Burns. So it's live. Anybody have access to the computer, they can listen to the broadcast live for 90 minutes. And we also have 1 hour of recording after the live time. So you're in good hands.
Amen. And give that information out how we can go to the archives.
You can go to the archives at New Destiny Ministries. Go to blogtalkradio.com. That's blog, B-L-O-G, talk, radio, one word, .com. And you can access in the search bar New Destiny Ministries. And you can see the different segments, and you can go back to any date. You can also see this segment on Saturday morning called They Overcame, and you can listen to those during the weekday, Monday through Friday. We also come on Sunday morning for 30 minutes of only prayer, nothing but prayer, early Sunday morning at 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific time, and that's 10 o'clock on the East Coast, and I know many of you all are in your respective churches, but if you're on the West Coast, 7 o'clock, you haven't gotten to your church yet, and you want to make that sacrifice and have some prayer, we invite you to come on the line. The call-in number for all of these segments is area code 858-683-1334. Once again, that's 858-683-1334. And you can call in live and participate on the live broadcast.
Amen, amen. And we just thank God for this this time of praise and giving him honor. We just praise God for you, Bishop, for coming on at such a short notice. I just thank God for you and for Cheryl and for your two children. Such examples you have been to me and my husband.
We got married
the year after you did. So we're
That's
in
right.
our 27th year of marriage also, and have four wonderful sons and one daughter. And we just thank God for all that he's done in our lives, all that he's done in the lives of our friends. And we will get together.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're going to make that happen. But I just thank God for you, and it's always a pleasure to see you on Facebook and give Big Al my love. I gotta get over there and see him. I'm going to make it my business this year. I'm going to be settling some things down, and we're going to make it our business to get together, and if nothing else, you know, be able to break bread and have dinner or something.
Yes.
Can I
get Go ahead, Evangeline.
I didn't get the full name of Bishop. What is his full name?
It's Corinthus. Let me spell it for you. Corinthas. Patterson.
Wow. Amen.
And
that's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
I'll get that. He is actually relative to Bishop Ellis, Adrian.
Right.
Okay. God bless you. Powerful, awesome, mm-hmm. anointed family.
Yeah, thank the Lord. The Lord has blessed us. The Lord has blessed us. What a blessing.
Is that all?
Now you in California? What part?
Yes, I'm in Stockton, California. I'm in Northern California.
Okay. What a blessing.
Yeah, I'm like maybe like 30, 45 minutes away from Sacramento and about an hour away from Oakland and the Bay Area, so we're in Northern California.
You know, I was supposed to be in Sacramento today for a meeting, but I was supposed to be in Sacramento this morning, and matter of fact, I'll be sitting in a meeting right now and be in Sacramento tomorrow, and I was going to leave out, but my family was planning, but something came up where we couldn't keep that trip, so I had to cancel it. But I was supposed to be there for a meeting today, right now as we speak.
Wow. Well, we'll get your information from Minister Burns, and we certainly would like to have you to come back on if you have any time in your busy schedule to come back on. We've had awesome bishops, prophets. We've had
all that. All those titles. The ecclesiastical title that I have, but you know, I also do, you know, professional speaking and motivational stuff and stuff like that, and doing some writing. So I love the radio. So anytime, I would love to come on. I'd love to come on.
Amen.
This is a powerful concept. And, you know, so many people can be touched by the radio and this is an instrument to get the word out. Because most of us, the only difference between us and those that's out there that's really soaring is the word of mouth, the publicity. Most of us are just as powerful as anybody, but they just don't know about us because they don't get a chance to hear us.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
This absolutely. Is awesome. I love to. Yeah.
Amen. Well, we have come to the end of the show. And I've been glorified. God has been truly glorified. He's been glorified. And Adrian, you call your brother, and I'll make sure that he answers the phone.
Okay. Now, did you have any? You have some more callers on the line. Can you acknowledge them?
I didn't. Let me go to. We just have about 6 minutes. We have someone at area code 540.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there?
Hello.
You're on the air.
Oh, I'm Josephine Burnett. I'm a cousin of Brother Richards. My name is Josephine Richards Burnett, and this is the first time that I have listened to your show, and it has been truly a blessing. I just got on the computer this morning early. I'm supposed to be raking leaves today, so I said I'm going to get up early and do my little disciples reading and do my little Bible study, and then I'm going to get on my way, get breakfast and get on my way. But God moved me in another direction. So I have been blessed by listening to your testimonies, and I'm going to ask you all to pray for this little 9-year-old girl. She's been diagnosed with Crohn's disease, and she's very sick. She's in the hospital in Washington, D.C. I live in King George, Virginia, and I'm just so overwhelmed with you all's testimonies and all the information that you all have been giving me about sowing seeds, because God has been dealing with me on some issues. I have a grandson that's incarcerated, got a lot of time. I was so upset about it, but listening to our minister, our pastor, Reverend Earl T. Howerton, we have a new pastor. I'm a member of the Little Zion Baptist Church. That's where Cornell's family is actually from, his dad's family. And our pastor has been teaching us about sowing seeds and tithing, and this is confirmation because it's in my spirit, it's in my heart, and I want to thank you all so much for the time that you all have given on the air this morning, and it has been a blessing. So the little girl's name is Tierra Ransom, and they have been giving her of transfusions, and they were talking about putting a feeding tube in, but my pastor's wife, First Lady Howerton, prayed on our prayer line yesterday that she won't even need it. I got the word last night that they're not going to put it in. So God is moving. God is moving. And ma'am, what is your name? You're the radio host, right?
My name is Minister Billy Burns.
Burn, B-U-R-N?
B-U-R-N.
Yes.
Okay. And then the gentleman that fell through the ceiling, that was God. You know that was God that turned you around, you know,
so your head
wouldn't hit. And what is your name again?
My name is Dr. Corinthus Patterson.
Oh, Patterson. Okay. How do you spell your first name?
C-O-R-I-N-T-H-A-S.
Okay. All right. Well, you all have been so much a blessing to me, and I know you've been a blessing to others as well. You know, I said I was only going to listen to Cornell, but then it got so good, I had to stay on.
Amen.
You know, you all have been such a blessing, and keep my family in your prayer. Yes, in the name of Jesus, my daughter and her kids live with me. My daughter had been going through some health issues, but I have claimed healing for her, you know. And tomorrow, I'm going to sow a seed. And you all, this has just been a blessing. It has changed my perspective on life. Sometimes Satan will make you feel that there's no need in trying, because this or that or the other. But I know who's bigger than Satan, and you all have confirmed it, you know. And I just want to say God bless you all, bless your families, and I just pray that you all, God would just elevate you in whatever you're doing, because I know that whatever you're doing for his glory.
Amen.
Well, they say you all have a blessed weekend and blessed holiday, and I'm going to stay in tune to you all, you know, I will. I'm even going to tell my pastor tomorrow. Yes, and he may already know. He may already know. But, yeah, but I'm going to maybe give Cornell a call, because I remember his Aunt Gladys was telling me about how he, you know, was out of it, you know, how he had gone on to be with the Lord, but the Lord brought him back. And he's doing a lot of great work for the Lord. Yes, he is. A lot of inspiration to the family. I was telling his Aunt Gladys, I said, I'm proud to be a Richards. I got some cousins that are Richards that are really doing great things for the Lord.
Everybody's proud of their family, and they should be.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Well, you all be blessed, and you all have been a blessing. And I love what Cornell said about the first three letters in the word unity, you and I.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's great. That's powerful.
Well,
okay, well, listen,
God.
You all You all have a blessed, blessed day. I love you, and I just feel like I've been knowing you all my life because you all have ministered from up on high today. You really have. All right, you all be blessed.
You too. We have come to the end of the whole 90 minutes, and God has been glorified. So impressed by the young lady that was just on saying how we had blessed her life. Bishop, we'll be in touch. Adrian, we'll be in touch. And I love you. And because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee.
Minister Burns, we have two more people. Can you quickly acknowledge them? And then you still have a few more minutes. We are not on live any longer, but you can still acknowledge your callers.
Oh, okay. Hello, I have a call, 209. Hello,
that
caller,
Minister Mike, this is my brother in Christ. He is, I tell you, he's a wonderful man of God, and he was on this broadcast from its inception. He's a powerful advocate on behalf of my sister, Minister Burns, and we've never met him, but this is Minister Michael Lewis, and he lives here in Stockton, California. Minister Lewis?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Minister Lewis. So glad that you could join us today.
Thank you.
Amen. Go ahead, Billy. Go ahead.
Much that you would want to give to the Lord today?
Say that again. I didn't hear you.
I said, do you have a testimony that you would want to give for the Lord today?
Yes, I can always testify to the glory of God. First of all, I want to thank God for waking me up this morning, yet clothed in my right mind and daily loaded me with his benefits. As Sister Adrian said, he has tremendously blessed me to be in a position to speak on behalf of others. And one of the persons that I speak for is a sister who has a 3-life sentence plus 20 years. And it was just a couple of days ago that a young lady, Evangelist Caldwell, touched and agreed with me that God would give me divine connection. And not even before the week was over, God began to systematically put people in my path. Yesterday, the gentleman that I was talking with, you never know who you might encounter. And I never seen this man. He never seen me, but he heard about some of the work that I was doing here in Stockton. And, I'm the president of Black Student Union at Delta College. And when he heard I was reviving that thing, he began to tell me, call this individual, call these. Now, these are city, state, and federal officials that he had put me into contact with. Some more that I would love to share, but he told me, don't say nothing on this other part. I'm just going to follow the instructions that he gave me because, whatever God does, he does it excellent. And oftentimes we miss our blessing or lose our blessing because even though the news is good, I love telling everybody, hey, this is getting ready to happen. And before you know it, some kind of way, it then got sabotaged. So on this one, I'm definitely going to keep my lips zipped and let God do what he's trying to do or going to do, not trying, but what he's going to do in this case. So I'm asking y'all just to remember Sister Adrian's sister, Danielle Metz, and remember us that lives in the city of Stockton. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Now, we will do that. We will do that. I'm sorry, I didn't get your name, Minister.
Michael Lewis.
Okay. Well, we will. We've been praying for Danielle. We've known Evangelist Adrian for 12 years now.
Yes,
And we know about the plight of her bishop. You don't know her sister, but her sister is the young lady that the minister was just talking about. She received 3 life sentences plus 20
mm-hmm.
years for something that she shouldn't have been on the jail for. But,
okay.
You know how the devil is, so just remember her in prayer.
Will do.
Amen.
And God's going to work it out.
Amen. And we want you, you can Google her name, and you can learn and more information about her story. Her name is Danielle, D-A-N-I-E-L-L-E, and the last name is Metz, M as in Mary, E, T as in Tom, Z as in Zebra, and you can see her story online. Amen. And we really
mm-hmm.
thank God for Minister Mike. It's been a blessing in our family's life, and the Lord has opened up so many doors because of this young man and because of his commitment and his faithfulness to this cause of helping my sister. She's been in prison for over 20 years. In January, it'll be 20 years, and she really shouldn't have received no more than 5 years. So she's overdue. And I'll just ask you all to continue to pray for them. Before we dismiss Minister Burns, if you don't mind, we'd like Bishop to just lift up that young lady in prayer that Sister Richards have asked for prayer this morning, Tierra Ransom. And also I want you all to pray for Dr. Burford. One of his nephews, 18 years old, was murdered on Thursday here in Stockton, so we want to lift those families up. If you don't mind, would you allow Bishop to pray on behalf of these?
Amen.
Sure.
Amen.
All right. Father, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for being an awesome God. Lord God, the young man's family, that his life was taken, I want you to comfort them and let something good be realized in this family's life. Comfort their hearts, strengthen them, and Lord, let your grace flow without any long-term bitterness, agony, or anger. Strengthen and comfort the family right now in Jesus' name. This young lady, Lord God, with Crohn's disease, Lord, you are God that loves us, you love children, and Lord, I speak healing. You said, why be sick when you should be healed? And Lord, I'm speaking to that body right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, go in and transform every organ, every vital organ, every system, the bloodstream. Lord, correct everything. Restore the body to that excellent health that you so willed it to be. In the name of Jesus, I defy the power of this disease, and I break its connection and this hold on this young lady. And I minister healing unto her right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for the host of this program and her family and her children. Lord, direct and guide them and instruct them and let her sons and daughter bring peace to their lives. And Lord God, the pastor that's in California, strengthen and open a way for her. Open, Lord, the ears of those to hear and give her grace to, Lord God, to get out and get more of the word out. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for prospering each of us. And thank you for the young lady, Lord, there that's bringing prayer for the young lady. Strengthen her and her family. And then the minister that was on earlier, Lord God, I want you to strengthen him and thank you for his life-giving testimony and bless the business that they may bless others, because you will that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And Father, in the name of Jesus, guide them and direct them with wisdom, because we know that all diseases that are in our body now are a result of the way that we eat. Give them wisdom and give them knowledge. Direct them on how to feed her so that her body will be able to do what you have, designed for it to do, to heal itself. But we have to put in the right things, Lord. So give them wisdom. Give them wisdom, Lord. There's no thing that's too hard for you, Father. Right now, thank you, Lord, for this session.
Thank you,
God. We thank you, oh God, for being with us. We thank you, oh God, for directing us, even giving our sister Adrienne the vision for this and for giving me the vision for, and they overcame. Father, we just bless you. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. We glorify you.
We thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, and we say we stand willing and ready, hallelujah, to be used by you. We thank you now, Father, for this day. Lord, be with us this day. Cover us with your blood, oh God, as we go forth. Cover our families, oh God.
Yes,
the faith of God, oh God, hallelujah. We bless you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory
Hallelujah.
To God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you. I cannot think of his name, but you can Google Crohn's disease and who's been healed from Crohn's disease.
Okay.
He was healed. He was healed through God, but by putting the right his body.
Our
diet, the American diet, is poisoning.
Oh, yeah.
Poisoning. We eat a lot of processed foods. We eat a lot of
Foods
that are dead. We need live foods in our body. We need live foods. My husband, and we'll get a chance to give a testimony, was healed from colon cancer.
Praise God.
Thank the Lord.
Health ministers that guided us through juicing you know, to put live foods in our body. And so thank God. You know.
Thank you so much for that information.
Yes, we give God the glory.
I will definitely pass that on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to share information.
Yeah.
Some people don't want to share, but he wants us to share that others may get the benefit. And we're blessing our own selves when we do that.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
It's about eating. And that eating is something else now, Sister Billy, because even in Genesis, dealing with Adam, the Lord said that the day that thou eat, thou shalt surely die. Now, most of us thought he was saying he was going to die, but Adam lived 900 years. Well, God showed me that your eating has everything to do with the way your life is going to be, how you live. And, and most of us are eating ourselves to death.
Yeah.
And we want to eat to live. So, like you said, the live food, we've done some juicing. I've gone more to eating raw things. Matter of fact, for breakfast this morning, I'm going to eat some nuts, some kale, and some spinach greens and some fruit, you know, that kind of thing I'm filling up myself with because I want to live. And I'm planning on, I used to say 120, but I changed it because someone said that, you know, the medical science said there's no reason why we can't live a long time. So I'm shooting it to 150. So I'm going to eat like I want to live to 150. So I got 100 more years to live, so I got to eat right. I can't not eat. I'm going to stick around. If God delay is coming, I want to live, you know. So thank you for that little testimony. And, you know, far as husband, good to know that God is healing.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes. Okay, well, if we have nothing further to talk about and to give God glory about, we're going to end this call now. I thank God for what my ears have heard this day, and I thank God for your realness, Cornelius, you know, that You call it Al, Big Al. I get so weary of titles. You know, I get so weary of titles because we take on the title. You know, it's like that becomes our first name. Our first name is Evangelist
or our first name is Bishop, or
yeah.
You know, and God said that we're all the same. You know, there's no big eyes and little you.
Amen.
I just thank God for your
ability. Sister Billy, you know, don't be weary of, because some people, you know, they put that work in, and the world recognizes, and that's the only way some people recognize, and they will give you credit. And most of them that put the time in, that put the work in, they're worthy of their honor that they've done. So some people want to live for that. And you'll find the person that has humility, they're not concerned about it. But those that want to push, you got to call me this, because bottom line, my name is Corinthus. You know, I have a PhD. I have been ordained a bishop. But my name is Corinthus. You know, and then sometimes, you know, because we're dealing with people, you know, people need to have that respect, because I have gone to school. And, you know, I didn't get this through the mail. I went to actual school. So you know, it's some people on that, but the more mature you get, the older you get, the more you realize none of that means anything. You know,
yeah.
I'm a vessel of God. I'm used by God, mm-hmm. and God's going to bless. But the world and people recognize that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yes, I'm not talking
right.
about in the world. I'm talking about when we talk to one another.
Oh, yeah. See, that's a waste of time.
Yes.
time. You got to call me Dr. So-and-so. We even grew up with one another and played one another. And then, but then, you got that other dimension where you got some people that don't want to let go and don't want to give you your credit. Because I go back to my old church sometime, and there are little kids and stuff like that. And it's not that it's a point, but some people that grew up with it, they say, I don't care what they say you are. You still so-and-so, so-and-so. Now, that person has a problem, because some people don't want you to grow, and they don't want you to acknowledge what you've done. But generally, those of us as friends, we ain't got to put them on your head. Well, I'm going to call in, and it feels funny. Hey, Minister Billy, you know, or you call me Bishop or Doctor, you know, that means nothing to us that have love in our heart. We have that level of maturity. But some people need to get it, because they miss it. They want to keep everybody. They don't want people to grow past playing in the sandbox. But we've gone
there.
Oh,
yeah. Honor is due.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Honor to do, you know,
and
but
you
I
got
just
personal friends, you know, all that stuff that we done too. Big Al, he's been Big Al to me. Now, when we get in church or in a different setting, I would say, you know, Elder Al or whatever, or Dr. Al, but you know, for people's sake. But when we get close and get in one another's ear, you know, what's up, Big Al? You know, that's how it is, because we're friends.
Yes.
So, amen.
Amen. Well, I have other things to do today, so let me get off the phone. And I bless everyone that was on the line today. I did have some people that are on the line that didn't get a chance to open the line up to them, but I have their number, and I'm going to give them a call to invite them back.
Bless your heart.
Tell everyone that you know we need to hear the goodness of God. We need to hear what God is doing in our lives so that we can overcome.
So that we can ground,
and God be glorified, because that's what we're here for. That's why we're here, to give him glory and to give him honor. So God bless everybody.
God bless you all, too.
I love you.
I love you, too.
God
and
bless
have
you
a blessed
all.
Day.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.